everyone, welcome to the Good Evening Kitties podcast, the Tales from the Crypt review. My name is Melissa, your ghostess with the mostest. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 4, Abracadaver. This is a pretty, I wouldn't say iconic, but I know it's a pretty popular episode. So I brought someone in to help me review it, my friend Jeff from the Discography Discussion podcast, as well as just being my friend. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited that you had me do this episode. This is one of my favorites, so I'm pretty pumped about it.
So you've had a pretty good history with Tales from the Crypt then?
Yeah. As a kid, I watched this on HBO every Saturday night, so.
Sweet.
Or was it Friday night? I don't know. It's been a few years, but I watched it religiously as a kid, and it's kind of stuck with me ever since.
This was definitely more of a popular episode, and I couldn't remember why at first. It's been a while since I saw this one, and so when I went back to watch it, I was like, oh, yeah, I could see why. I was like, this one's kind of gross, and...
Yeah, it's fun, lots of big names.
Yeah, and kind of messed up, and you're just like, oh, shoot, okay. But yeah, so Abracadaver here. It originally aired June 19th, 1991. It stars Beau Bridges from movies like The Fabulous Baker Boys, Tony Goldwyn, who I think right after this had just done Ghost.
Yes.
And Tom Wright, who is in Creepshow 2. It's directed by Stephen Hopkins, who also directed Predator 2. As always, John Cassier does the voice of the Crypt Keeper, and Danny Elfman does the theme song. The screenplay was by Jim Burge. And I'll go ahead and hear and read the description, which this one, the description's a little vague, which I like, but it's kind of like, that's not quite exactly what happened. But the description says, serious side effects include laughter and death when rival doctors mix research with cruel practical jokes. Which, I guess, but it's like, they weren't just rival doctors, they were brothers.
Right.
You know? So it's like, I don't know, just kind of like...
I guess they mean, maybe they're, because it was a collective whole, there was like a whole team, you know, that was involved in each practical joke. That's the only thing I can think of on why they pluralized it a bit.
I guess so, but we'll go ahead and... get started into this one here. So this one starts out, the Crypt Keeper is working as a doctor, and he's got, they really, like I've said before in other episodes, Season 3, they really get him a lot of costumes. Every episode, it seems like he's just dressing up more and more. He's got his little surgeon outfit on, he's got that little magnifying circle thing on the top of his head that I don't even think really does much anymore. And he's looking at a body with a toe tag that says John Doe, and he's kind of just bringing in the episode here. And I thought his teeth looked kind of creepy in this one. Like, they're, like, really messed up. I don't know if one of them fell off the puppet or what, but they're really... He's really working... I don't know if they just got a new mouth on him or what. But, yeah, he's bringing in the episode. Again, they got all kinds of fun stuff, like scales and things in there that you would, like, weigh the organs and stuff in there. So it's always fun. But it starts out in, like, a flashback, and you can tell because it's in black and white.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was kind of fun. I was thinking like a little film noir kind of feel whenever it first started out.
Yeah, so it's like a black and white thing. And at first you're like, oh, is this going to be the whole time? But it's not, because like I said, it's a flashback. And it's also like a little fuzzy looking too.
Yeah, I didn't know if part of that was because of Tony Goldwyn in his, that last name is rather famous in Hollywood. I mean, he's part of the family that started Goldwyn Pictures, so...
Like, oh, is he?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was his, I think that was his great-grandfather.
Cool.
So, like, what, you know, what you're seeing, the, like, MGM?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's actually his family.
Yeah, the Roaring Lion or whatever.
Uh-huh, yeah, that is his,
oh, that's cool.
I think it was his grandfather that started it. Well, so, I didn't know if maybe that might have been part of it, just paying a little homage to his family as well.
Yeah, it could be, yeah, because he had only just gotten kind of started with acting, I think, around this time, but...
Ghost was his real big break.
Yeah, his real big break, which I liked him in that. He was, it's a good movie, but this in this episode, he's got quite the hair mullet, and I guess that's how you can tell it's the past.
Yeah, I was just thinking, well, you know, it's 1991. Maybe this is his real hair back then. I had a lot of fun on this episode. This was great.
It was good. Yeah, I went through and watched it a few times, too, just because going over the episode, but... Yeah, so Beau Bridges and Tony Goldwyn are brothers, Carl and Martin, also known as Marty, and they're both doctors. In this flashback, Carl is more like a first-year resident, or something. He hasn't quite gotten...
Right, yeah, he's still having to go through all of his testing, I guess, to become an actual surgeon.
Yeah, so he's kind of getting close to going to the end here where he's going to become a doctor, and so his older brother's walking him through it, and they're in a morgue, always creepy. It's set up nice. They have, like, all the tables and all the, you know, the bodies are there. They all have white sheets on them, you know. But it's very clean, which is nice. Sometimes you can tell if they're really bad scientists, if it's, like, more bloody or something. Like,
yeah, it's very antiseptic. It's very...
Yeah.
You can tell they've done their job.
They definitely clean it up better. It's better than another episode I did, Fitting Punishment, where the guy was cutting costs, and you could totally tell, like, in the place. Carl's kind of being kind of gross, and going through, and they're looking at different bodies, and... This one body has, like, a hole through the chest, and Martin's trying to, like, quiz him on different stuff. And the cadavers look good, I think.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
I think the fact that it's black and white...
Yeah, that probably helps, too.
Probably helps as well. But, no, yeah, it's very cavernous in there.
Yeah, that is true. That is quite a deep chest. And I love how the mouth is even like, oh, God, my chest. And so they're looking inside, and Marty's... testing Carl, and they're like pointing inside this open lung cavity on this cadaver, and Carl's kind of a jokester, you know, and kind of joking around, and Marty's like, you gotta be serious, you know, you could be a really good doctor, and we gotta do this. And
so, typical big brother little brother relationship.
Big brother little brother stuff. And so they go over, they're looking at more bodies, and they go over to, he pulls the sheet down on, and it's a young woman, and he just like whips the whole sheet off, so you got her completely naked on the slab, I guess you'd call it. And, you know, she's got her eyes open and she's dead. And this part, like, kind of is gross because it's like, I mean, it makes sense in a little bit here, but, like, Marty's been into research about brain death and, like, how long your brain hangs on after you die.
Clinical death is heart death. I'm talking about brain death.
I understand more familiar.
Don't patronize me, little brother. I know you better than that.
I'm not patronizing you, Martin. I'm simply disagreeing with you. There's a difference. Your idea is completely untenable. You take oxygen away from someone's brain, and all they have left is a couple of pounds of organ meat. They can't hear, they can't feel, they can't see.
You're as narrow-minded as everyone else.
And he's trying to test that and see about, like, if there's different pain sensors and what goes first and what and all the stuff like that. And so that's what he's really interested in. And so Carl's been kind of messing with him about that. He's saying, like, oh, you know, do you think she's alive in there? She can see me? And you know, so you got this naked chick here, and he's, like, all up in her face. And then there's this part that's like...
He starts getting pervy on her.
Yeah, he's trying to like touch on her and rub on her, and he rubs her nip.
He goes straight for her boob.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, let's... Yeah, okay. And then
Hollywood at its finest.
Yeah, and so he goes to touch her, you know, there on the breast, and he notices that there's like a stimulation to it, like, it's, you know, automatically, Marty is repulsed. He's like, don't touch her, you know? And then he's like, dude, you know, she's
nipping out.
Yeah, she's responding to nipping out, responding to my touch. And he's like, get out. And so he's touching. And so Marty starts getting like real excited because he's like, oh my gosh, she did. And then as soon as he gets close to her face, this girl screams really good.
Yeah, she does.
She shoots straight up and screams at like, don't touch me. Yeah, right into him and pushes him over. And she's on top of Marty and screaming. And then all the other cadavers start getting up and, like, attacking them. And you're like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And then Carl starts laughing. And it's great because it's like they threw the... It's a really good prank.
It's a really good prank, but all I can think of is this, like, wow, his girlfriend is very comfortable with being nude. Not only in front of her boyfriend and brother.
They hadn't even met yet.
They had never met.
Yeah.
And it's in front of, like you know, like, what, 7 other people?
Yeah.
She's just like, no big deal. So then I was like, okay. So then I had to go down the IMDb rabbit hole on her.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's like Playboy Playmate of the Month for some month.
So she don't care.
She doesn't care. She's done a ton of stuff with Playboy TV. She hosted a TV show on there. So I'm like, okay, now I get why she's just running around butt naked. It's because that's what she does.
I mean, she did a good job, though. She stayed still really good.
She did better than Tony did. We get to that later.
Yeah. But I mean, like, she was just like, because I was kind of watching to see if you could see if she was breathing.
And right. She did really fantastic. Good. And her, like you said, her scream was awesome.
Yeah, which is fun about this episode is, like, they keep their eyes open a lot when they're in a dead-like state. And I feel like you probably laughed your butt off filming this because they're just staring at it while you're staring straight at trying to do these scenes. But yeah, so poor Marty thinks that the dead had come back to life, and then all these people run out with like champagne and they're like, woo, you know. And apparently Carl threw Marty a surprise birthday party, and this was part of the prank to do it. And then, yeah, he's like, this is my girlfriend, which makes more sense that he touched her.
Right.
I feel less like he's gross. But it's like, yeah, they hadn't even met yet, and she's just like, oh, hey, I'm naked, hi. And, I mean, the makeup and all that look really good, which I feel like people who work with the dead, you have to have this kind of sense of humor.
Yeah, actually, I used to work with somebody who did embalming, and the morbidity of his jokes was pretty...
You kind of have on par. To. I mean, right. It's the stuff you're dealing with. But, I mean, it's a good trick, like, prank, but I don't know if I could work in a job like that because of that. Like, if I see one thing move, I'm like, nope, and I just, like, walk out. But, yeah, so this party is, they're so, you know, they're all excited and having a good time. And then Marty starts clutching his heart, and he's having a heart attack.
Don't just stand there gawking, join the party.
Marty, what's wrong?
My heart! Somebody call a goddamn ambulance now!
Girl! Yeah, and they're thinking it was a joke at first. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, you're real funny.
Yeah, and so they're like, call an ambulance, you know, and they take his shirt, and, like, undo his shirt and everything, and Carl is feeling really bad, you know, he looks terrified. He's like, no, Marty. And so then it cuts to the future, so now that we're back in color. The mullet's gone, and Carl is kind of important, and he's some sort of director of something in the research.
Yeah, he looks like Carl from Ghost.
Yeah, he's pretty much Carl from Ghost now. less sweaty. And, yeah, he's the chief of pathology. So he's, you know, he made it. He got his doctorate and everything. He's doing really good. And he's kind of helping his brother get funding for different projects and things. He's trying to get him to have more of a, like, a teaching job.
Yeah, well, he feels bad, I would guess. You know, as it's going through, you realize, oh, like, he cannot do things anymore because of his heart attack, because he doesn't have full control.
Up.
Yeah, full control of his entire body, which means he's no longer a surgeon.
Which is really a bummer. Carl goes down to see Marty, and Marty just looks crazy kind of now. His hair's, like, a little more messy. I work in a lab myself, so there was a couple things here I noticed that where they were breaking lab rules. I mean, he's not wearing gloves here, which isn't a huge deal depending on what he's working on, but if he's working more with bodily functions, he probably should be. Carl's coming down to tell Marty, hey, you never took up on that teaching job. You know, we made a deal. I funded some of your research. You need to show me proof that what you're doing with the brain and stuff is working. So he's like, okay, I'll show you. And so he makes him up a drink in a beaker, which is another lab no-no. And they both toast, I guess it's like some whiskey or scotch or something, whatever. That's kind of the same thing, isn't it? I don't know.
Anyway. Close enough, it all burns on the way down.
Yeah, something that burns and is brown. And so they drink to it, and he's walking over to show Carl the results of his experiment. Besides losing control in one of his arms, like complete paralysis, he also kind of has a limp on that side. Mm-hmm. So I guess it was more like a stroke.
What my thought was, yeah. I thought they did a pretty good job in the scene, too, of, you know, conveying brotherhood animosity.
Yeah.
They both have real-life brothers. I mean, one of them is an incredibly famous brother, Jeff Bridges. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you could tell that these guys knew how to act like they were like they were brothers. Yeah. They didn't have any trouble with it at all.
Because they were still trying to, like, respect each other, but they also kind of hate each other. But it was also like, you still know Carl didn't mean to give him a heart attack, but like, it still sucks.
Still waiting for mom to come around the corner and scold you because it's, so you're hostile but civil at the same time.
Yeah, and so Marty brings Carl over, and he's got, like, these two bodies that are kind of wrapped up, hooked to all these tubes and lights and computers and all this stuff. And it's funny because he hits, like, this button to bring out this tray, and on the tray is all this voodoo stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of different. It's got, like, a dead chicken, and there's some, like, herbs and stuff.
And like, what's supposed to be, I guess, like, a shrunken head or something like that.
What the hell is all this shit? Is this where my money's been going?
In Haiti, there's a ritual called Les Mortes Vivantes.
Marty, you told me I was supporting endorphin research, not fucking voodoo.
Voodoo is a form of folk medicine, Carl. I mean, they've discovered things that will blow your mind.
Like what? Like hanging dead chickens from the ceiling?
He apparently lied and said that he was working on endorphin research, but he's like, oh, well, I went to Haiti, of course, and saw this ritual where they brought this guy back from the dead, and they could do all this stuff with them, and I learned the ritual, and that's what I've been working on, and I want to show you my work. And Carl's just like, come on, this has got to be fake, you know, and I can't believe you're making me put all this money into it.
Yeah, and this is about the time that the roller coaster starts.
Yeah, because even though I think Marty did not drink his drink, he put his next to the body, but Carl did, and...
Yeah, he slammed that bad boy.
And so, now that drink starts to kick in, and he starts having a heart attack, and I love this part too, because Marty's just like...
You know, watching you like this really brings back memories. You remember that night, don't you?
I do. I was one hell of a surgeon until your little joke cost me a career. Surgeon needs two good hands.
He's like, oh my gosh, this brings back memories. I remember what it was like when I had mine. And Carl's doing a good job. You know, he's clutching his chest. They always like undo their collar and...
I can't breathe.
Yeah, they can't breathe. He's having a really bad heart attack. And Marty just sits down to, like, in the seat and just watches him go down. And it's really kind of macabre because, yeah, he's just, like, watching the clock, like, his watch and, like, yep, just a couple more minutes and this should happen. He pulls out his pipe, which is probably, it's another no-no.
Yeah, I would guess that's a big no-no.
And, you know, he's like, oh, this brings up memories. And he's really rubbing it in about what Carl did and as if Carl forgot. Like, he's like, you know, just, you cost me my surgeon career and all this stuff. And the whole time Carl's just... He can't breathe, and he eventually just goes numb. His eyes are just, like, wide open, and he can hear everything and kind of feel everything, but he can't do anything about it, which sounds horrible.
Yeah, like, well, the way that I understood it, what he gave him literally did stop his heart.
Yeah, it gave him a heart attack.
So, I mean, like, he was clinically dead. What I was getting out of it, he was experiencing actual death, so whenever you see him inside his head, he's dead. Yeah. Until he gives him that whatever drug that was.
Yeah. And so, like, he comes over here, and, you know, Carl's pretty much seizing up and just kind of laying there. And he comes over and he takes what his serum is, which, you know, we find out more about later. But, of course, it glows green.
Yeah, because it has to.
You know, it's like a neon green. And I'm like, oh, this is... It's also around the time of Reanimator, so it kind of reminded me of that a little bit.
I was thinking antifreeze.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not good either. And
no.
And so he, like, I think he injects into his neck.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, so he puts that into the neck. It is his arm. Okay, yeah, he puts it into his arm. He also says, if I don't give this to you, they'll find traces of poison in your blood. So he's kind of making it seem like, I'm trying to kill you, but I want to cover my butt, so I'm going to do this. And so he injects him while he's still got the pipe going in his mouth and gives Carl this like, serum that's supposed to keep his brain alive. And he turns Carl over and then, like, instead of... Usually you see people close their eyes when they die. He opens his eyes. So now this episode kind of switches. So now it's more like you can hear Carl's thoughts saying, you know, he doesn't feel dead. He doesn't know what's happening. And then you just hear Marty talking. And as it goes on, some of the people talking gets kind of garbled and just like things. He's kind of like in and out of consciousness. But usually the first thing to go will be the sense of touch. You know, basically Carl is being tortured. And Carl does a good job, like, Tony Goldwyn does a good job just keeping his eyes open and looking like he's just not there. But then you just have the thoughts going. And so now a very still disheveled Marty is wheeling Carl on a gurney covered up into the morgue.
Yeah, and his limp has gotten a little better.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's because he has something to lean on.
Lean on, right. Yeah. But it's like, I didn't see him dragging the left leg quite as much.
And it's kind of fun because it's like, he can hide it because he's got them all covered up and it just looks like he's wheeling a body in.
Right, right.
So then the covers come off and then you have this bunch of spidery dreadlocks come over you and there's a man, I think his name is Mitch.
It is Mitch.
And he is very garbly talking in a Jamaican accent. And at first I'm like, I thought he got all this from Haiti. This guy sounds Jamaican. Who is this guy? So. Smoking weed and all this stuff. And he's basically, I guess he knows, you know, he knows about it. So he's helping Marty with this stuff. But I think, like, at least for right now, we're supposed to believe that Mitch thinks he's dead. Like, thinks he's actually dead. So for him, it's just another body.
Right.
That they're just going to do this procedure on him and... they need somewhere to put him because people are going to start figuring out because they know who he is, you know.
Right, he has a recognizable face.
Yeah, and he's the chief of pathology. Yeah.
Right, within the hospital he does, so they're not going to go through organ donation.
And this part, I think, is pretty messed up.
Yeah.
They want to hang him in the meat locker, and this is a kind of creepy meat locker anyway. they got all these other bodies that are wrapped up, and they have these huge hooks, and they wheel him in, and they turn him to a side where he's facing the camera, and they pull this hook out.
Yeah, they meat hook him, and
they just use this like little knife to do it, to like cut a little hole, and I'm like, ew, this is what they do. They really meat hook people up on?
I don't know.
Like through their back? Like
I never. I know there's like vacuum tables. I do know, but outside of that, I have.
But I would think, why would you hook it into the person? Why wouldn't you just like hook it onto a like a rope or something and then hang them? Or
right. But I think, you know, they're just still wanting to. It's the whole macabre, you know.
Yeah.
You know, feel that's what they're just they're just trying to make this.
Yeah, and it's good. Yeah, it's creepy. And yeah, they put the hook in, and Carl's kind of like acting like he can feel it. He says he can feel it, and they hang him up on this hook. It's messed up. Like he just looks out of it, and you can see the other bodies, and they're like, oh, we're gonna leave, we'll come back in the morning and figure all this out, okay, bye, you know. And he's just like hanging there, and they didn't really wrap him up or cover his head or anything. They just like, I guess he's naked, I don't know.
Yeah, well, just, I think that's, they wanted him to freak out. I think that was the
whole premise. Yeah, he's just hanging there. And,
and I tell you what, if I was in his position and this was legit, I would be freaking the F out as well, so.
Oh yeah, it's all his inner dialogue in the meat locker's pretty good.
Yeah, it really is.
No, please don't hang me! Ah, Marty, no, please get me down, please!
I got you. Thanks, Doc. All right.
Marty, don't go. You can't leave me like this. I can't stand it anymore. Oh, God, this is hell! Christ. Oh, but that's exactly what it is. I've died in hell as in the meat locker at the medical school basement.
He's hanging there, and he starts to feel himself slipping, which you're like, oh, no, no. That's why you shouldn't hang people from hooks on a meat locker. And the hook gives through his back, and mm-hmm. he falls, and he can't stop himself because he's numb.
Right.
So he just, poof, falls straight down, and he hits the ground, and he just lays there. And I guess it hurts something because...
I think he bloodied his nose or something.
Yeah, because, yeah, when the next morning or whatever, when Mitch comes to get him, there's some blood, like, on the ground where he was laying, and so he comes to get him, smoking the weed and talking about all the things that are Jamaican.
You want a chance to another hotel at this time? Too late, man. Club Dread for you.
And he blows the weed in Carl's face and, like, puts the joint
in the roach.
Yes, the roach in his in Carl's mouth. And even Carl's like, ew.
I don't know where his mouth has been.
He's like, I am dead and just fell off a hook, but ew, I don't want that in my mouth.
But no, this is the scene where he just starts blinking like a maniac. Carl, the actor Tony, starts blinking.
Does he? I didn't even notice it.
Oh, yeah. Watch, he'll start one. Right there, wow. You see it?
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah, so right before Mitch goes right behind Carl's back, if you're wanting to get exactly in the spot, that's when all of a sudden Carl just starts blinking like a madman, but I think it's because he had all that smoke
that just blown into his face.
And it looked like it was one continuous shot, mm-hmm. so it probably just irritated his eyes.
That's a good catch.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about playing dead, that I was like, oh, you know, you could tell.
Yeah,
I'm like, they should have reshot that scene.
Yeah, that could have been reshot.
And I started laughing. This is one of the times that I laughed out loud, too, with the whole very loose joints, no rigor mortis set in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and his arms are flapping all over the place. Like,
well, and it makes...
I didn't know if that's legit or not.
Well, I mean, he wasn't a meat locker, so maybe it slowed it down. Or it would have. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure how well that works. But it's also interesting to me that, like, Mitch is just grabbing his arms and making them dance. When you figure out what happened, it's like, I hope he doesn't do that with other dead bodies. Like, he thinks if this is what he's doing with all the dead bodies, just, like, making them dance and hanging around and...
Well, apparently this is how you have to act to be able to deal with the dead.
That's a little much. So they take him out of the meat locker, not very gracefully. They still have the joint in his mouth, and, yeah, he bloodied his nose a little bit. They get him here on the slab. He can't move, so he can't see, but they're saying that they're, like, putting a hole into his jugular system to pump out the blood, and you see, like, the blood going through the tube and out the sink, which is gross. I don't like any of that.
Yeah, see, that part doesn't...
Draining your body of blood? Like the...
No.
No, it doesn't do it?
Okay. No, like, giving blood and stuff that doesn't bother
it
me.
It does. I don't know.
At all.
I think it's just more, like, because it's draining, and then, like, you can hear it pouring into the sink behind him, so it's kind of gross. For him, he's like, oh... It's funny how much it's in his mind too, because he's like, oh, I can feel it. I can feel it just draining out of me. And he's laying there, all stunned.
Getting lightheaded.
Yeah, he's getting lightheaded. He's like, I guess this is it. So they so-called pump all the blood out of him. So then it cuts to Marty's like, I took up the teaching job. Yeah, Marty. Marty took up the teaching job, and he's like, you know, I'm going to use you as a cadaver in my teaching job. And he brings in these students, these med students, and he, you know, he's there with Mitch, and he's there to perform a, well, they're going to cut open the skull. I would rather have the blood thing over the skull cap. The skull cap pop-off thing is just...
Yeah, I don't know how well I'd do with that.
I don't know about that one. So they're gonna pop off that skull cap here.
Yeah, I definitely could not be a brain surgeon.
Yeah, this episode is definitely definitely kind of gross. And so he pulls out the little bone saw. He's being really dramatic about, like, putting the lines on Carl's head. And here's where you can see where Carl's fingers are moving.
Mm-hmm.
Just a smidge. And so as a viewer, you're like, oh my gosh, he's not dead.
Right.
Marty's putting the lines on Carl's head, and Carl's little finger's moving, and he pulls out the little bone saw. And yeah, Carl does, the voices of Carl in the background just screaming and stuff inside his head is really good.
Really good, yeah. Tony Goldwyn did a fantastic job with the internal dialogue.
Because you just like feel like you're just like, oh my gosh, it's like torture, you know? And this part's kind of cool because like they start cutting the skull and making a big thing about it. And then you see, like, the blood come down in front of his eyes. Looks like, you know, they really cut it off. Everything's bloody. Then they pop the cap off the head here. And it's kind of all from, it's all from Carl's viewpoint. So you just see, like, Marty popping off his head. And he's got the little skull cap with his hair on it.
He's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and just...
I'm alive!
He's like, don't do it, don't do it. And he's like, hurry, stop, you can still save me. And it's like, whew, that's still gonna be a recovery. But this part, this is when I definitely knew it was fake. When he pulls the brain out, that's not how it comes out.
Like, yeah, the brain stem just kind of...
Yeah. As soon as he pulls the brain, like, you see the brain pop out through the blood with the brain stem hanging on it, and it's real rubbery and everything. And
yeah,
right away, I
was
like
pulling weeds. You're like, oh.
I'm like, that's not what happens. And that right when that happens, Carl screams, I'm alive, and shoots straight up.
Stop, Martin! Stop! I'm alive!
Welcome back to the world of the living, little brother.
Alive?
Very much alive. Oh, you had a heart attack, all right. You were clinically dead. The stuff I put into your drink induced it. But you were never in danger.
He can move again. And he's screaming. And it's a really good prank.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, a lot of things could go wrong, but it's a really good, like, they really worked into that. They had fake blood on his head, and Marty's, like, dangling the little brain in front of him, and everyone's laughing and clapping. And they're like, welcome back, and he's like, what? And it turns out this was just like a...
Gotcha!
Yeah, like a revenge prank for everything, for what happened to him, and also to kind of show him that his research worked.
Yeah, it is definitely the ultimate prank. And I tell you what, there must be something about, like, you know, high living and high stakes, and, you know, they're doctors making all that money, and they're like, well, we really gotta go big for our pranks.
It's a good one. I mean, he's gonna have to have, like, I would be traumatized if I went through something like that. Like,
yeah, that would definitely, he's definitely even.
Yeah, so
no question about that.
It turns out, like I said, it was a prank, and the whole time, all this has only happened in, like, 2 or 3 hours. It hasn't been overnight. When they left him in there, it was all just the way it felt. They gave him this drug and numbed him and stuff, and although they did give him a heart attack, which I would still be a little upset about, it turns out they had a harness on him in the meat locker, and the harness broke. So yep. That was something they were a little, like, freaked out, like, they didn't mean for him to fall on his face, which that could have been bad. Luckily, it just bloody. I don't think it broke his nose.
Well, that was the other thing, too. He couldn't hear his heart, because he mentioned that earlier, that he couldn't hear his heart. So he's essentially dead that whole time, and the drug is actually just preserving his brain.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no blood flow, how is his nose bleeding?
I don't know. But this is also Tales from the Crypt. So.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm one of those kind of viewers.
No,
sorry.
I am too. No, I totally get that.
But I still enjoy it for what it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. This
but
was
it was
a fantastic
just like,
episode.
It was just really weird that... Yeah, the blood, and... Yeah, I don't think it would flow like it did.
Right.
But, yeah, so, I mean, he got... Carl back for what happened to him. Mitch was in on it. Mitch is not Jamaican. Well, at least he's not as Jamaican as he seems. He pulls the dreads off, and he, you know, was in on it all along. And I guess there still was, like, he still got the research from Haiti. I guess that was still true.
I think that's where the influence of the research came from, but that's not, you know, where he got the, I guess, the scientific data.
Yeah, the serum and all that.
But they really don't go a whole lot into that, but it was...
Carl is just so out of it. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm alive. Like, I can't believe it. And I still am bummed that it's like, I'd be like, don't give me, like, a heart attack. Like, now that I have that on my history of my health. But he did put something in the drink that induced a heart attack, but he wasn't in danger because he gave him this serum and...
Oh, the antifreeze.
Yes, it's really glowing now. And he's like, yeah, I just wanted to show, it's called Suspensor.
There we go.
Suspensor. And so if anything catastrophic happens to the body, you can give it to him and it can preserve it over the course of a few hours. Even if it wears off, I guess if you really do die, though, you would still die. Like, he just got lucky that he survived the heart attack.
Right.
And so he was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's only been a couple hours. And Carl's really proud of him. You know, he's like, cool, you did a good job. I'm so proud of your research.
Yeah, the fact that he goes, I'm proud of you, like, right off of the get-go. My first thought would have been, I want to kick your fucking ass.
Yeah, I'd be like, don't talk to me for a few days.
Yeah.
And so in between saying he's proud and everything, Carl grabs his chest. And right away, Marty's like, okay, don't play.
Ha ha, funny.
Because I got you back, now you're going to get me back. No, it turns out, as Mitch says, as he runs over to check on him, he's having another heart attack.
I'm proud of you, Martin. He's proud.
Oh, shit. Good acting, Carl. Carl, what's wrong?
What?
Oh, shit, Carl. All right, what's wrong?
Joke's over.
He's having another heart attack.
He ends up crashing. They're going to try to inject him and stuff, but it's not working, which I don't know how many other people he tested on with this stuff. He had those two bodies, but I don't know if he had done other human experiments or anything like that.
Yeah, they really didn't delve into that. I mean, I would assume he has because he's confident enough to use it on his brother. And he feels like, well... this is perfect timing to, number one, accept the teaching job.
That's
number...
horrible CPR. Oh my gosh, I just noticed that.
Yeah, it is.
That's totally fake. So they're giving him CPR where the guy's just like holding onto his chest and moving his own body. And so that's not going to work. So Carl ends up dying.
So it's that dude's fault.
Yeah. So Carl dies, and then it cuts to, through Carl's view again, point of view, and now he's... on the slab, and he's actually dead, and they're getting ready to do an autopsy.
Yeah.
And it's these other two guys who are talking about it, you know, saying like, oh man, it was an accident, this is crazy that his brother killed him, and...
yeah, what a shame, he killed his own brother.
Yeah, and so they have these really creepy visors to put over their faces, because they're getting ready to cut open the skull and, you know, make some mess. I think they're creepy, they kind of have like...
like a skeletal look to them.
Yeah,
but I think that was kind of, that's probably why that they, that was chosen...
And they pull out the bone saw, and that's when Carl's still kind of in there.
Yep. No, he's definitely in there.
Yeah, he's definitely in there. Even though it still gave him another heart attack and killed him, it's still in there. So really, this drug is not good, because even if you do die with it, you're still there. So it's more torture.
Yeah, well, that was the first... that, you know, it brings up a couple of questions. Is this what everybody experiences after death, or is this something... that's
due to the drug,
due to suppressor, that he's still experiencing this.
Yeah.
So, which I found that I kind of liked it. That's a little open-ended, and you get to have some discussion, you know, a little bit of an internal dialogue of yourself while you're thinking about it and watching it. You know, what is the real reason why was his theory correct that everybody's brain lasts longer after death,
or just because of suppressor?
Yep.
And then now he's just even like, it's just even more because. Because now Carl is saying it's not the sense of touch that goes first, it goes last. Yeah.
So and it goes out on one excellent scream.
Yeah, and it's so he can feel all this, and they're bringing down the bone saw, and then all the blood starts like spraying on their faces, and he's screaming, and then that's just the end of the episode. And it's like, geez, okay. Like, and it goes back to the creep peeper, and he's in the same point of view, wearing the same mask, all covered in blood, talking to you, which is, it's a good shot.
Yeah, I love the like the pseudo halo effects as well.
Yeah,
around the head.
And he's got the bone saw, and you know he's throwing puns and. Crypt keeper, you're so punny. The best crypt keeper pun is.
Wanna play doctor? Then open wide and say.
Gosh, his teeth are just really weird in this one. I don't know if something, they just got a new puppet face or what, but it looks different. But yeah, that's basically the episode. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I remember this one quite well from when I watched it as a kid. I hadn't seen it in several years, but I mean, I've seen it several times, but this was one of the episodes I remember the most as a kid. And it was mainly because I was freaked out by the last scene of the brain function after death.
Yeah, the fact that you're like trapped in there.
Yeah, because I think I was 12 when this came out, and I had recently lost great grandparents and some other relatives at the time, and so I was kind of equating the two, and it was this episode was a total mind fuck for me as a 12 year old.
That's horrible. It just happened to fall in place that way.
Yeah, it did. But yeah, you know, it's a memorable episode.
That's true. It did stick with you then.
Yeah, it really did.
That's cool. Now, you wanted to say something about the music or something?
Yeah, a couple things. The in-show music is actually done by Alan Silvestri,
mm-hmm.
who is a big time. He's like Danny Elfman's peer now. I mean, he does.
Okay.
So Alan Silvestri does a bunch of music for like the Marvel movies, like the Avengers and stuff like that. So, I mean, he's very, very prominent within soundtracks and things of that nature. So I thought that was kind of fun to do that. Plus, I gotta get my Sammo Hung reference in. He, what was his name? I think it's Tom...
Tom Wright?
Tom Wright, yes. Tom Wright was in a show with Sammo Hung called Martial Law.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that show because I love Kung Fu. And Sammo Hung, if you haven't looked him up, look up Hong Kong movies with him. He is a legend.
Sweet. Yeah, those are always kind of fun. I like a lot of like Bruce Lee ones and things.
Yeah, well, he was actually one of Bruce Lee's contemporaries.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I mean, he was around. That's how long he's been doing Hong Kong style movies, and then he started to cross over. He was one of the first.
And that's considered kung fu, or what kind of like
fighting? Martial law is like. Texas Walker.
Oh, okay. Walker Texas Ranger.
Walker Texas Ranger. Yeah, I would put it more in that kind of vibe.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a law enforcement, you know, procedural show with some, you know, some fun and some kung fu.
Sweet.
So, yeah, it's total cheese, total fun. There's generally each episode has a decent moral to the story kind of thing going on with it, kind of like Chuck Norris did with Walker Texas Ranger. So, I love that stuff as a kid.
Well, there is a little bit of trivia here from IMDb for the episode. A year earlier before this, Tony Goldwyn played another character named Carl in Ghost, 1990. The title is a parody on the word used by stage magicians abracadabra that goes back to the Aramaic phrase that means, appropriately, I will create as I say. The next episode is season 3, episode 5, Top Billing. Jeff, thank you so much for being on here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I had a blast.
Is there anything? Oh, yeah, no problem. Is there anything you want to promote or anything?
I think you need to go to the website discussmetal.com. Mm-hmm. It's the website for my podcast, which is called Discography Discussion. We do in-depth reviews of the entire discography of the chosen artist of that week. A lot of times we'll have some pretty cool guests on, too. So if you're into metal, it's something that I highly recommend checking out. And if it's something that you're interested in getting into, we can help you get educated as you're going through your metal awesomeness.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you all for listening. You can email the Good Evening Kitties podcast at goodeveningpod@gmail.com. You can rate, review, subscribe, give me a 5-star review on iTunes. I've been getting a couple of them, a couple new ones, so I really appreciate that. It's been awesome. You can also join the Facebook page for the Good Evening Kitties podcast. There's also a Patreon page you can check out. Find it wherever you've looked for your podcast. And again, thank you for listening.
I just had quite a scare. I actually thought my heart was beating.